On August 4, 1889, Barton Haydale spent his lunch hour with a prostitute named Roslyn, who lived and worked in a two-room apartment in Wolfe's Hotel on Railroad Avenue. The apartment was above a lunchroom where Barton often stopped for something to eat after his visits with Roslyn. But on this day, he was consumed with the trouble of making a decision, and so he chose to forego his meal in favor of sitting in Roslyn's tiny kitchen and smoking cigarettes. The thing he was trying to decide, where and when to kill himself. Barton had not set upon his path to suicide lightly. He'd assembled his justifications, which read as such. He was lonesome, he was generally disliked, and he was ugly. None of these conditions, he felt, had any hope of improving. They would only worsen as the months and years passed. Barton was 29 years old and the manager of the only bank in Spokane Falls. This position should have garnered him respect and power. It instead earned him nothing but ire from the local citizenry, who, it turned out, had little trust for institutions, financial or otherwise. As a result, Barton had not married or even made a single friend in his 6 years in Spokane Falls. The strain of this lonesomeness had taken a toll on him physically. He'd grown portly and unfit. He wheezed when he walked too quickly. And to top it off, he'd just the afternoon prior received a terrible haircut. Strangely, though his hair would grow back, it was this final offense that convinced him he was beyond salvage. He could not continue to exist in his current form. So, today would be his last. His last breakfast, his last time washing his face, blowing his nose, tying his shoes. And here with Roslyn, his last fuck. The fucking had been the same quality as always, no great send-off. This observation depressed him even more. After each cigarette he finished, he pitched the butt out the kitchen window and watched it spiral to the alley below, the last bits of ash and smoke forming a satisfying tail. Then he rolled and lit a new one. If Rosalind's apartment were on a higher floor, he reasoned, he would jump from the window. But Wolf's was only two stories tall. In the other room, Roslyn snored, asleep in her bed. She was a drunk. The later in the day he called on her, the more likely he was to find her asleep or sick. On this particular day, she was already stewed by the time Barton arrived at noon and barely able to finish performing her services before nodding off. Even if Barton could not jump out of the window, he did think he'd like to jump from something. That seemed a good way, dramatic and quick. He would do it someplace where everyone in town could see. Then they'd all feel bad for how they'd treated him. They'd be so sorry. They'd re-examine their whole lives and ways of being. Maybe some of them, those who'd known him most immediately, would kill themselves as well, unable to cope with their role in his death. It cheered him slightly to imagine. He would jump from the bridge into the river. That was his choice. He'd made his decision, and that felt good too. He kept an eye on his watch, and when it said 1:05, he stood up from the chair, ran a hand through his terrible hair to straighten it, left his money for Roslyn on the kitchen table, and headed back to work. He was very strict with his employees about taking only an hour for lunch, no more. He adhered to the same rule himself. So if he was not going to kill himself right then and there, he felt he must return to his desk, even though it was a Sunday and no one else would be at the bank to see if he came back on time, or at all, for that matter. Barton worked 7 days a week. He had never been absent or late. And today, just because it was his last day, would be no exception.